James has made a hard pivot from Frozen.
Oh my gosh.
To Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Okay. Yes.
But now, every hour his Halloween costume changes.
That's like, he's in a hard age for Halloween costumes.
Yeah, because I had to pre-order this thing. Yeah.
Like now.
Because yesterday was like, I want to be the Hulk.
Okay.
And I'm like, great. That sounds super fun. Let's be the Hulk. And then today I was like, so Hulk costume. He's like, no. I want to be Spidey. The revolving door of what I want to be for Halloween.
Yeah.
But I will say the Spider-Man costumes at least make sense in my mind. Because before that it was, I want to be Minnie Mouse as a spider. Like, okay.
There was one year that Gray wanted to be a caterpillar or a moth coming out of her cocoon.
Okay.
And she wanted Michael to carry her somewhere where there was a crowd. And then she was going to unveil herself from her cocoon.
Okay. So this is performance art.
Art. I was like, how do you think we're going to pull this off? Is this at every house that you trick or treat at?
Yeah. Like, that Michael just carries you from house to house.
Right. That's, yeah.
Yeah. I also would love it. Everybody be like, oh yeah, I know who you are. Minnie Mouse as a spider. That just makes perfect sense.
Super scary Minnie Mouse.
All right, welcome back to Beyond Sunday Podcast. We're exploring our take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, as always, Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
And this is the last week of just the two of us.
I know.
And also last week in my office, probably.
That part's good.
Yeah, I've been able to move it up.
The part of David coming back is good, too. I misspoke when I said that part is good, suggesting that it was ungood. For him to come back.
We were supposed to be upstairs, but I didn't get it moved up on Monday. Yeah. We had a stomach bug from one of my kids.
Oosh, so. I hate that.
It is awful. Yes. And not at the age where they're like, I know how to throw up in a toilet.
It's just wherever they happen to be.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm also at that age.
Okay.
I'm a very...
On the stairs. Like, okay, that's fun. Yes.
Like, I'm a historically inconvenient puker.
Okay.
I can own that about myself.
All right. That's helpful. So
helpful to know me.
What is the problem, do you think, that you can't make it to a bathroom? Is it just like you're just unaware of your gastrointestinal distress?
No, I'm aware. I think it's situationally it changes. Like, okay. I guess most recently it was in the KitchenAid mixer, which I thought was a good place.
Okay. I guess if you're in a kitchen, a sink would probably be a better place.
Yeah, but I was standing next to the KitchenAid mixer, so it felt like either on
I assume the sink is not that far away from the KitchenAid mixer.
I could have just turned around and made it.
Yeah.
Yeah, admittedly.
Okay. All right. Welcome, everybody, for our thoughts on throw up. Yes, immediately. Let me get my news article here.
This is exactly on brand for us.
Yeah, it really is. If you came here expecting anything less, that's really on you.
Yeah.
Let's talk about AI.
Okay. I hate this subject.
Okay. Do you hate AI?
I do hate AI. Like, all right, AI has done some good things, right? There's lots of like professional uses of AI and medicine and stuff like that that makes things possible that were not before. Like you and I using AI.
Sure.
Hard against.
I tried using AI for a video thing the other day and it ended up terrible.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, it's not as good as it proclaims itself to be.
Well, there are a handful out there that look incredible, but that's not for me and you.
Right.
I'm not getting that off the Google.
Right.
Yeah.
Like these are always like already professionals in their field using AI and augmenting things with AI. Yes. But also I think what AI has done to like writing and art is really negative.
Sure. So, yeah.
On the measure, there are some good things, but on the measure, I think really negative.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen people trying to sell their AI art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's several. Yeah,
you just typed in a prompt.
Yeah. There's several like literary magazines that have had to close because they were flooded with AI submissions. Oof. So
terrible.
Yeah.
Well, Taco Bell is also rethinking using AI.
Oh, boy. Have we been eating AI? That wouldn't surprise me.
Yes. Yeah, they're going from artificial intelligence. Maybe the intelligence was the problem with the AI, because artificial is already there.
Right. Yeah, artificial. We proved we're on board with.
Yeah, Taco Bell's like, yeah, I got artificial down.
Right.
The intelligence part might have been the problem. So Taco Bell. So I guess several fast food companies are experiencing AI drive-through ordering.
Oh, I've heard about this.
So the AI is now taking your order at the drive-through.
Yep.
Instead of a human.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're rethinking it because a guy crashed their system by ordering 18,000 water cups.
I heard about this. Yeah. Not all heroes wear capes. Yes.
I guess when that order comes through to the human workers, I mean, what are they, I guess?
They don't know. They didn't take that order.
We're making 18,000 right. water cups.
Okay. Especially the underpaid, like, high schooler in the back, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay. That's what they don't care. Said.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess I would be pretty annoyed to make 18,000 water cups.
Right.
If I was the high school worker, I'd be like, well, this is my notice. I'm out. Yeah. I'm not doing
right.
this.
Right.
Yeah, they also had some issues because for some, it kept asking them if they wanted to add a drink. It would not take a no for an answer.
Like you had to have a drink.
Or they, like somebody said, I'd like a large Mountain Dew. And it said, and what will you drink with that?
A large Mountain Dew.
And what will you, like you just get stuck on these cycles.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah, and then McDonald's also withdrew AI from its ordering after one it resulted in one person getting bacon added to their ice cream.
Oh, well, okay.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm like maybe.
Yeah, chocolate or vanilla.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not. I mean, raised eyebrow a little bit.
Right.
Now the problem was the ice cream machine wasn't actually working, and the AI said,
right. Yeah. So it's just bacon.
So it's just bacon. Yeah, yeah. In a cone.
Right.
Again, I'm like. Maybe. Yeah. You know, like, okay.
I think the problem here is that it's McDonald's bacon.
That is definitely true. It is not good. No. Yeah. It's made in a microwave. They're not pan-frying that.
Right.
Yeah. All right. And also another person having hundreds of dollars worth of chicken nuggets accidentally added to their meal.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at least when you get to the window, you can be like, I didn't order that.
That's true. But then the person has to figure out how to, like, change everything.
Right.
And you know. That's a complicated process, evidently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pro McDonald's and Taco Bell continuing to employ actual human beings.
Me too.
Preferably on site to take our orders. This seems like nothing but a good thing.
Agree completely. Plus, then the money that you're giving to the, at least this is going to another human, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and not just further up the chain.
Right.
Further removed from, you know, the process.
Yep.
So, I think the AI ordering, I'm anti.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Especially because, like, they're probably, like, this is a cost-saving measure that's not actually going to make the cost of anything cheaper.
Right.
Like, Taco Bell will be the exact same price regardless of who's taking your order. This only saves the company more money, and they get more money. They don't have to pass on to their minimum wage worker.
Right. Do you remember that period in time where McDonald's outsourced some of their drive-through ordering to, like, a call center in India and everybody freaked out?
What?
Because there was an Indian accent from the person taking your order. Yeah. Like, this feels reminiscent of that, but, like, less right-wing outrage about it.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily love the call center whenever I have to call in to talk to somebody.
Nobody likes a call center.
Yeah.
I worked in a call center. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
In college, it was awful. That, I made it through my paid 2 weeks of training and 1 week and quit.
Out of all the jobs out there that are low skill that you could just go get, that seems the worst.
It is misery.
Yeah. I would much rather work at McDonald's.
Right.
Or in a face-to-face public, you know, setting.
Yeah.
In retail. And that just sounds awful.
Yeah. Well, nobody wants to talk to you, for one thing.
I don't want to talk to them.
People
yeah, so,
are already annoyed or have a problem when they're calling, right?
Yeah.
And you have a script that you're not supposed to deviate from. So you can't actually solve people's problems until they get a certain level of angry. Yeah. And then you ship them off to somebody else. So
was this you calling them or them calling you?
Them calling me.
Okay.
Which is better than me calling them. Way better.
Yeah.
Like, I do have phone anxiety, so, like...
Absolutely, yeah.
That was not a natural fit for me.
Yeah. I genuinely... The you call them method, who is doing that? Who is getting a phone call and being like, yes, take my credit card number?
I don't know.
Is it just people with dementia? Like, is this really who their target audience is? Like,
maybe.
We just have to call 1,000 people to find the one person who's not fully capable of navigating this situation without giving us their credit card.
Right.
Because I cannot imagine any scenario where somebody over the phone is like, do you want these pills? And you're like, yes, here's my credit card number.
Yes, right, yeah.
Like, that just sounds crazy to me.
It is crazy. That's why it sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Do not give people who call you and ask you if you want pills your credit card.
Agreed. It's like a legal scam.
Yeah. I wasn't at a call center for pills.
Okay.
I was at a call center for where we functioned as like a centralized leasing office for apartments all over the U.S.
Okay.
So a lot of times what happens if you think you're calling an apartment to ask them if they have availability of any of their units, you're calling a call center that doesn't actually have any familiarity with that individual apartment. It populates on our screens. Not ours, their screens, when you call and you say, oh, let me look.
Yeah.
And like you like answer as quickly as you can about what move-in specials are. And
okay.
Yeah.
Sounds miserable.
It was awful. Yeah. $10 an hour.
Okay. Well, at least you were paid slightly more than minimum wage.
Right. Yeah. They pitched us a marketing internship.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Did it open a lot of doors for you?
No. I actually found out after I graduated that they had several lawsuits surrounding.
Sounds all right.
Yeah. False advertising.
All right. I guess speaking of false advertising, let's get to our main topic here. From our friends at Christianity Today.
Our friends.
And I'll say, pretty solid article.
I was surprised. Like, I read the title and thought, this is going to be fluff. Like, just pure nonsense.
Yeah.
And there's some good stuff in there.
This is honestly pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. The title is, Are Christians Hotter?
I thought it was just going to be yes, and that was going to be the end of the article.
That's the title.
Right.
And yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, I'm hotter.
Like, right.
If you are listening and you're not a Christian, I'm putting it out there. I'm hotter than you. If you are a Christian, debatable. Right. I don't know.
You know, Patrick and I are self-reporting, yes, right? Yeah. But there's two of us. We're self-reporting, so I think this qualifies as a clinical study in the U.S. So, yeah.
100%.
Clinically proven, we're hotter than you are.
If you're not a Christian. If you are a Christian,
I don't know. Who knows? Yeah.
And look, if Pastor David here, maybe it's two-thirds. I can't. I cannot say for sure
what he
would say. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. The social media Jesus glow trend is just another kind of prosperity gospel. That's the byline, the subheader. This is by Kelsey Kramer McGinnis on Christianity Today. And I have been uploading them to our website and to the Apple Music or Spotify, I do include the article. So I don't know if you've noticed or you care as a listener, but if you go to the show notes, you should be able to click on the articles and at least read what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So good for you. Subtle dig on Pastor Dave for not doing it previously.
Yes. not even subtle. Right. So, yes. All right. Here we go. First sentence here from Kelsey. Some Christian women on the internet seem convinced that Jesus wants them to be holy and hot. All right. The Jesus glow up. All right.
Oh, boy.
So this is a thing that she is talking about here that she searched on Instagram and TikTok. And first thing is a template.
Oh, a template.
Yeah. The how to follow the Jesus glow up.
How do we follow the Jesus glow up?
Okay. So first, here's the variation. Here's what you do. Okay. You write, the Jesus glow up isn't real, ... And then you show a bunch of photos and videos of yourself in the pre-Christian days.
Before Jesus.
And then the after images, now that you are a follower of Jesus, and then have the proof that when you started following Jesus, you got hotter.
Okay. So this is a template for like our Instagram posts.
Correct.
That we need to make for this. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess.
How is this going to work for us that have always been Christians or became Christians as a kid?
Yeah, I got baptized in like the third grade. So this is going to be pretty rough to show like a picture of me in like second grade and be like, look how much hotter I am.
Yeah. Look at this little jerk.
Yeah. That's going to be a rough one.
Such a glow up.
Yeah.
We put on our midlife 15 pounds. This count as a glow up.
Yeah, so what do we think here?
I mean, clearly this is ridiculous, right? Like,
yeah, this is crazy town. Like, I mean, and often like the before pictures are the these are my, look how obvious I'm not a Christian photos could be.
Which is like, also ridiculous.
Like, dress for a nightclub or dramatic heavy makeup when you were like 19 or 20, you know, in college.
Right.
And now you're dressed in a more better lighting, an intentionally like kind of glamour shot.
Mm-hmm.
And look at me.
Obviously, that's a Jesus club.
That's the
you
Jesus
know,
club.
It really never ceases to amaze me the different ways that Christians find a virtue signal.
Yeah.
Like, just when I thought that we've reached like peak virtue signaling, it's nope, Jesus glow up.
Yeah. So this is crazy town.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only are these, you know, offering the Jesus glow up is real,
mm-hmm.
it's Christian glow up tips.
Mm-hmm.
How can you as a Christian become hotter? here's some advice. Bible before phone.
That doesn't make you hotter. Like, I don't, like, it's the same way that anybody gets hotter, right?
Sure.
Like,
join a church.
Be rich.
Yeah.
Have a nutritionist, eat no food, go to the gym.
Yeah.
Like, have, like, good jeans.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what makes you hotter.
Yeah. Wear better clothing.
Right.
Eat healthier.
Right.
Be
Pedro Pascal.
Sure. Yeah, that's one
that's
option.
What makes you hotter.
Yeah, and all these things. Yes, like obviously, like on the podcast here, we're gonna come. We are pro Jesus. We are pro being a follower of Jesus.
Are we pro hot?
Sure. I guess as a human,
I think I fall pro hot.
Yeah.
Like,
But to correlate these two things, it's crazy town. Like
wild.
And I think. And Kelsey's going to get into this. It's easy to dismiss this as kind of like silly, right? Like, and I think that if you're listening and you're like, this is silly,
mm-hmm.
you're right. It is.
Right.
But I think there's something insidious going on
mm-hmm.
attached to this that is twofold.
Yeah.
One, the idea that becoming a follower of Jesus is going to make you more attractive
mm-hmm.
is not something that's ever mentioned, promised, or proclaimed.
It's the opposite, isn't it?
I mean, usually,
like, you will be reviled in my name. And
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And two, we kind of associate, like, it's easy for people to associate goodness and attractiveness together.
Yeah.
And I think that this is, like, maybe that's a question of, like, but why do we do that?
Mm.
Like, they're attractive, and so they are therefore good. And I think obviously this is placed mostly on women. I mean, this is just the reality.
For sure. Yeah.
And both of those things are weird and wrong and kind of bizarre, right? Like, but they exist.
I'm sure there's something in our biology, right? Where we're kind of hardwired to find the people that we find attractive more trustworthy, and we want to gravitate towards those people and attribute more positive qualities to them, right? So somebody who is a psychologist should definitely write in about this. I would love to hear more about it. But there is such a thing as pretty privilege, right? Like,
absolutely.
You've probably heard that tossed around on the internet if you've been on the internet at all in the last decade. This idea that people who are pretty or attractive tend to experience more positive social interactions,
sure.
get more benefits,
that
kind of stuff than people who are less typically attractive.
Yeah. And obviously for women, mm-hmm. you know, that attractiveness is going to open up doors, avenues, mm-hmm. and if you're a podcaster or a writer, listeners or readers
mm-hmm.
in different ways, you know, in special ways. And I mean, even like, you know, as a guy who's like, I'm not out there be like, oh, I only want to listen to women who are hot. I can tell you, when I listen to a podcast and I hear like a woman on there, like part of like my thought process is like, I wonder what she looks like. That's just part of that questioning
right.
that's associated that I don't have for men.
Yeah.
And I don't think you probably, I don't know if you have that for when you hear a man's voice on a podcast. You're like,
I mean, I think I have, I form a picture of these people
sure.
in my
yeah.
head
and maybe
based
that's part
on
of it.
How they
yeah.
sound, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's just kind of a natural thing
yeah.
to do. I think it is easy to be more critical of a woman's voice on a podcast than a man's voice.
Sure.
Though, and I don't know exactly why that
yeah.
is. probably our listeners are going to write in and be like, yeah, I hate her stupid voice.
So shrill.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is obviously. Okay, so first up, it's dangerous. I think this is a dangerous thing for Instagram to do, to be like, to first I'll be like, Christians don't look like that. They look like this.
I hate that.
And yeah, they are attractive.
Right.
So one, there are plenty of Christians out there who are incredibly faithful, God following followers of Jesus, who serve their communities, love their families, work for the betterment of the least amongst them, who would not fall into traditional attractiveness. And so to kind of be like, the Jesus glow up is real, I think is like so insulting to them.
Yeah.
Because like they're doing the work of Jesus, especially, you know, people who like, who are in their 70s, like, you know, they're not going to be posing on TikTok for the Jesus glow up,
right,
but they're doing the work of Jesus with their hands and with their minds, with their effort. And to say like, yeah, but are you hot?
Right.
Like, is insane to for us as Christians, right, to put that on there.
Right.
The world is already doing that enough.
I know. It's just, yeah, more commodification of, yeah, human beings, right? Like, that's, yeah, all that is just feeding more into that.
Yeah. And this should be like the one safe space away from that kind of thing.
Right.
So like to reach, like, we're intentionally bringing it in.
Right.
Like when we unintentionally bring this into kind of our mindset already,
mm-hmm,
you know, to now intentionally embrace it.
It's way worse.
It's, yeah, way worse.
Yeah.
And then two, to say to like, oh, you look like, you know, goth or heavy makeup or intentionally not dressing to modern cultural standards, you can't possibly be a Christian.
Right.
Like, how could you?
You're not wearing natural fibers. Yeah, here. Yeah.
How could that person follow Jesus? Right. Again, is insane. It's crazy town. Like, it throws this obstacle to say like, oh, if you wanted to be a follower of Jesus and you're a 21-year-old woman who likes having gauges, who, mm-hmm, has, you know, dark, who likes dyeing your hair darker or purple or whatever, mm-hmm, to say like, well, you obviously have to change all that.
Right.
To become a Christian.
Right.
And not, those things don't actually matter. Like, the heart and what your faith is doing is what, yeah, actually matters.
Right.
And this is completely irrelevant, which is the truth. Is, again, why did you want to intentionally make it harder or worse for people to become followers of Jesus?
You know, it feels like just one more way to kind of clamp down on diversity in,
agreed,
the church, right? Like,
yeah,
there's already this discomfort that the church at large has with diversity, right? And so it's like, what's a sneaky way that, yeah, we can make it less diverse? Encourage everybody to look the same way and tell them that it's because they're hotter.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, yeah. And that in the world, you know, the world embraces traditional attractiveness, and so do we.
Right.
Maybe even more so.
Maybe,
you know, like,
even more.
Yeah. It's definitely this. It's mind-blowing that, yeah, this is kind of like where we're landing and what we're valuing as kind of,
yeah,
like, for some out there, you know, in faith. And we can say, like, it's kind of insidious.
Yeah.
I think part of this, too, and she's going to do this. This is, you know, a more modern-day prosperity gospel. And so the prosperity gospel idea is, like, if you believe in Jesus enough, you will be blessed with health and wealth,
mm-hmm,
and now attractiveness. You know, like, that...
Yeah.
You will become a hotter person through the power of faith.
Mm.
And
the power of Christ compels me.
Yes. Yes. That's, again, a pretty insidious thing.
Totally. Yeah.
And also a lie.
Yeah.
That's not how God is going to operate. Yeah.
Also, who are these Christians that are like super hot? I don't, yeah, think I've seen them. Maybe ever. Present company excluded.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Obviously in the room.
Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have seen kind of a new rise of like new pastors who are gaining a lot of notoriety. Like, there are definitely some who are intentionally conforming or putting themselves out there as like an attract look how attractive I am. There was the pastor who was at Hillsong in New York who got kicked out for cheating on his wife, who was friends with Justin Bieber, and there's plenty of photos of him walking around like shirt off, you know, like pants hung very low.
Okay.
You know, and like you're and he's a follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
A minister, not just a follower of Jesus, a minister, but like look how hot I am. Like it's an intentional thing, and I find it pretty gross. Like obviously, you know, like if you want, you should be physically, you know, all of us should be more physically fit than we currently are, most likely.
Most likely, yeah.
I mean, obviously, present company excluded. Yes, yeah, no, we've already self-rated ourselves pretty high on the hot scale.
I think this feeds into last week's episode where we are also good at telling you how you should live your life.
But that just seems so contrary to who Jesus is and what it means to be a follower of Christ.
No,
like
totally.
These things do not matter. Yeah. In fact, when Paul is writing against, you know, writing for modesty, you know, that's not wear long skirts. It's mainly like don't show your wealth through
elaborate displays of wealth in church.
Yeah. And through elaborate like hairstyle or jewelry or things like that.
Yeah.
So if anything, it would be like dress more simply or intentionally less attractive because that's not what matters.
Right.
You know, like that's not the primary thing that it means to be a Christian. Right. So, I mean, lastly, like the idea of like, okay, hotness and goodness, we just kind of put together.
We do. You know, I think that what is so interesting is I think that there's something in our hardwiring there, right? Like we've talked about a little bit, like they're pretty privileged as a thing, right? People who are attractive experience more privileges, and that is something biologically going on, but that makes the message of the gospel that much more interesting, right? As it says, those judgments and what you have on the outside is the least valuable thing that you bring to the table as a human being. And everybody has an inherent human dignity and is valuable regardless of what you look like on the outside. And that's like one of the core tenets of the gospel.
100%. And look, this is a human issue, not just this is not a Christian issue. This is a human issue.
Right.
You know, like Cinderella, she is conventionally attractive and she's the heroine of the story.
Right.
And her stepsisters are ugly. Like they're drawn caricatures of selfishness and malice, basically. Mm-hmm. And for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Like you're immediately looking at Cinderella and be like, she's the person I'm rooting for because she's the pretty one.
Right.
Like, you know, and that's right away, you know, and every Disney princess since, you know, like that's the pretty one. That's what I'm supposed to be rooting
for. Yeah. I will say even like as a writer, it is difficult. It is a thing I actively have to work against, this instinct in myself that when I'm writing a bad character or an unkind character, to give them ugly physical attributes.
Sure.
Like that, we're just so hardwired for that, right?
For sure.
It's really hard to break out of that.
Yeah. And so this is part of, you know, us as a culture, but I think we're bringing this into our political space, our Christian space of like, well, if my side of the political or religious aisle has the pretty people, then my side's right.
Right.
Like that's then proof of rightness, of correct theology or thought or ideology that my side is correct. Like I've seen like, you know, like memes of like, from like conservative things of like, conservative women look like this, and it's a very conventionally attractive woman, usually white and blonde, and basically dressed like Marianne from Gilligan's Island. And like liberal women look like this, and it's
angry, you know, fembot,
overweight, angry, blue hair, blue short hair, yelling, and like, and therefore we're clearly right, because that's what this cartoon looks like. You know, like whether is that even a reflection of reality?
No.
But like it's like, but this is an attractive woman and she agrees with me, and this is an unattractive woman and she disagrees. So I'm correct because the pretty person told me so.
Right.
Like, and I think that is nutters. You know, like,
totally.
Yeah.
It is nutters, Patrick. It's nutters.
And so when Christians are even mildly getting into that space.
It's really frustrating.
Yes.
Like, you're supposed to be better than this.
Yes. Like, that's not what we're about. Right. Come on. That's crazy town. Like, that's not what it is. And so, like, oh my gosh. In the article, Kelsey talks about reading this, like, Christian magazine who is addressing girls in the throes of puberty, like teen, like preteen girls, and saying, like, and this is what it said, like, some of your least favorite qualities are often temporary. Perhaps your most picked on will become your most prized possession. It happened for me as my formerly skinny legs and knobby knees won me preliminary swimsuit competition and a college scholarship in the Miss Oklahoma pageant.
Okay, Miss Oklahoma. Like, calm down.
And again, like, that's not our message,
right,
of Christians, of like, actually, good news, you'll one day win a swimsuit competition.
Right. Like, you too can aspire to win a swimsuit competition.
Yes. Like, it's like, that's not our message. Our message, right, is that who you are in faith matters, and it matters more, yeah, than what any culture could say about you, including our own.
Yeah.
Like, including our own culture, right, could say about you.
Also, but, who's taking self-love advice from a hot person? Like, that's...
I mean, that's fair.
They've never struggled with that. They don't know.
Yeah, and I think, like, any time we kind of see, like, influencers, like, associate spirituality with, like, weight loss, mm-hmm, or supplements or whatever, like, this is a crazy connection that we have to break away from, because it's not helpful. It's so damaging for us. You know, I recently saw, this is pretty funny, I saw an Instagram reel that I was scrolling through, and it was this woman describing, like, her house burning down and what it meant to air out her children's clothes and all of this. And then it concludes with, like, in the midst of this, it's so hard to eat, like, a healthy thing. And, like, an ad for her, like, supplement weight loss thing that you need to do. And, like,
she's making a buck off of her personal,
like,
tragedy.
Seriously? Yeah. This? We need to, like, use this to do your advertisement of your house burning down? Are we that desperate?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so. But I think, like, this reaches this thing that is problematic, mm-hmm, of, like, our attractiveness matters so much to our faith and to our God and to our church and to our community, and it's not the case.
Right.
Like, in really ways, this isn't a call to be less attractive. This is a call to say attractiveness has its place, but there's something bigger and better going on in Christianity.
Yeah.
And that has to be there.
Has to.
I mean, and look, most pictures of Jesus I've seen, they've painted him as pretty attractive.
Yeah, we have a hot one. We have a hot Jesus picture in the podcast room. Yeah, he's wearing eyeliner.
Yeah.
But not in a goth pre-Christian way.
Yeah. Glow up. He's post-glow up.
It's just a touch. He looks like a Scandinavian farm princess.
Sorry, yeah. But I, you know, this is interesting, right? Like, I've never seen an ugly Jesus in, like, a painting or a video.
Yeah.
You know? Jesus is always thin. He's never overweight. Mm-mm. He never has a pot belly.
No.
You know, like...
Fat Jesus would be... I would love to see it.
Me too. And maybe, like, kind of according to the Bible, there's some things that would suggest, like, he may not have been attractive.
They say that there was nothing about him that would, like, draw you to him, right?
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that doesn't mean he's ugly, but it's like...
But it has some question marks, right?
Right. Like, it's like, yeah. Okay, yeah.
But I guess in, like, a movie or in a picture, we naturally have that.
Mm-hmm.
If he's unattractive, why would I want to listen?
Right. You know, again, like, our own biases.
We all, and yeah, and so in faith, we need to be breaking away from this, not, mm-hmm, leaning into it.
Yep.
And so, yeah, this might sound silly to you, and it is. Like, this is kind of a silly thing that's happening but I think it does reveal part of each of our hearts, and that is all of us are leaning towards what did the attractive people say, and is the message from a person, isn't an attractive person.
Yep.
And I'll listen to more, and I'll want to be intrigued by more. And that is something that may be human nature, but as Christians, we need to try to transcend that.
Yes.
Because something better is here.
Wow, we're on the subject.
Yeah.
Italy puts out a hot Priests of Rome calendar every year.
Okay.
I think this is a great souvenir.
Yes, the hot Priests of Rome.
Right.
Okay.
Which I react to very differently than, like, that, like, MAGA, like, conservative women calendar that was, like, the bikini photo shoot.
Sure, we covered that. Yeah.
priests are not typically, like, we don't think of them as,
sure,
you know, bastions of physical appearance. So it's, sure, just kind of a funny, like,
sure,
we got some hot ones, you know.
We managed to just find 12.
There's 12. It's kind of cute. It's like a charity fundraiser thing, sure, too. And they're in their collars and stuff, too. They're not, like, scantily clad. So,
yeah.
Family friendly.
Sure, sure. Okay. I guess it's a good place to stop. There was some issues with recording, so we may have, like, missed something that wanted to say,
yeah,
but I think we've kind of got all the important things out there, that how crazy this is.
Yeah.
And I will end with I will let Kelsey kind of give us our finale here.
Yeah, wrap us up, Kelsey.
The Glow Up Prosperity Gospel just keeps us competing in a beauty pageant that ultimately hurts both its winners and its losers.
Yep.
And I agree completely.
Yep.
Like, this is bad for the Jesus glow up women on Instagram. I think it's bad for them, and it's bad for everybody looking at that and being like, well, why didn't I get the glow up?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, if you think that God is going to make you hotter, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, hate to be the one to break this to you.
Yeah. I mean, if you're coming to God with any form of prosperity gospel mindset of, I will become more successful, richer, healthier, based on my adherence to Christian dogma, you're going to be disappointed. And if it's will be more attractive, it's going to be, like,
doubly disappointed
because, like, yeah, there's no scenario, like, that's just not going to, yeah, exist on any level, right? Like, you know. All right, there you go. All right, any other thoughts?
No, I'm ready to put this one to bed.
Sure. All right, well, I am confident that the Beyond Sunday family is the most attractive family of podcast listeners,
yes,
we got out there.
Yes, so
you're listening
of
to this,
course,
you're pretty attractive. And and we're more attractive than the other Christian podcasts. I don't know what, you know.
It's our glow up.
You know, the Beyond Sunday glow up.
Yep.
We're all getting it together. So
yep.
You're welcome. But if you have any thoughts on this, email at us, beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. And Pastor David should be back for next week's podcast.
We think.
He's back in the office. I don't know if he's going to get back into the podcast.
We'll peer pressure him.
He's probably got a lot to do, but you know, he'll make time for
us.
For the hot
the
audience.
The besties. Yeah.
Of Beyond Sunday. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.